New Millennium Audio presents Life Beyond Earth, written and read by Timothy Ferris. Preface. People have been speculating about life beyond Earth since the dawn of history. What's new is that we have now begun to acquire the tools necessary to replace some of these speculations with fact. Humans have collected rocks on the surface of the moon, sent instrumental probes to the planets, employed large telescopes on the ground and in orbit to study the stars, and explored the Earth to investigate how life here began and evolved. So far, the results of the search for extraterrestrial life have been negative. The moon, long portrayed in hoax and hopeful speculation as inhabited, is lifeless. Venus turned out to be fearfully hot and dry, a disappointment for those who envision tropical jungles hidden beneath its perpetual clouds. Space probes dispatched to Mars have found no clear evidence of biological activity, although it may take decades of further study to determine whether there is, or once was, life on Mars. Meanwhile, other avenues of research have opened new vistas onto the subject of extraterrestrial life and the related issue of how life began. Here on Earth, living organisms have been found thriving in hot vents in the dark depths of the sea, in frigid Antarctic waters, in core samples drilled miles down in rocks and floating high in the air. These findings show that life is tougher and more adaptive than had been assumed, and imply that life could exist on planets that had been thought to be too hot or cold. Jupiter's satellite Europa, for example, may have a global ocean and hot vents resembling the fertile founts found in Earth's seas. Meanwhile, astronomers have adduced evidence of planets orbiting stars near the Sun, confirming the long-held hypothesis that our galaxy contains billions of planets, some of which could be expected to have life, even if the advent of life is rare. Earth scientists are finding new evidence that life began here quite early on, adding fuel to the argument that biology arises in the normal course of things, at least on planets that resemble Earth. Astrophysical studies of nebulae in the Milky Way galaxy and beyond show that the basic ingredients of life as we know it are not unique to our quarter of the cosmos, but are widespread. Water, organic molecules, and sources of energy are found in countless locations, suggesting that the universe may have given birth to life in a literally unimaginable variety of environments. From such discoveries come new incentives to keep learning about our planet and its place in the wider universe. Such efforts are not forbiddingly expensive, as such things go. The United States in peacetime spends far more money each year on military applications in space than on manned and unmanned space exploration. Nonetheless, they are criticized by those who claim to have reasoned their way to the conclusion that there is no life, or at least none that is intelligent, out among the stars. These arguments are not wholly without merit. It's true that we have as yet no solid evidence that extraterrestrial life exists, and that dream-struck enthusiasts might want to keep searching even if we had one day scrutinized a million planets and found that all were sterile. The universe is so vast that we'd have hardly begun. Life might yet be found on the next planet or the one after that. But we know so little so far that to stop now would be at best premature. We tried not searching for more than 10,000 years. That didn't work. If science has taught us anything, certainly it is that one should never underestimate the scope of human ignorance and its influence on our commonplace ways of thinking. It may be that the search for life beyond Earth is more about exploration than science, but that hardly diminishes its stature. Exploration has been central to our success as a species, and to cease exploring is to risk becoming less than human. Certainly the potential rewards of finding life elsewhere would be substantial. Science, which thrives on comparison and seldom does well when studying something of which it has but a single example, would benefit immeasurably from knowledge of just a single species of extraterrestrial life with which to compare the one form of biology that we know about. And the influences that would be brought to bear on philosophy, theology, history, and art from the discovery of even an humble life form, much less an intelligent one, can scarcely be overestimated. Science sits at the center of our culture, which deserves to be told about its findings and its informed speculations. It was to this end that I agreed to write and narrate the 2-hour documentary film after which this book is titled, and from the script of which its words are taken. Such films are not textbooks designed to prepare their audiences to pass biology or astronomy exams, but they have a demonstrated ability to sensitize people to science and to involve them in the enterprise of scientific research, if only as informed generalists. Their aim is not so much to provide answers as to improve the quality of the questions we all ask whenever we wonder about how life and intelligence began, who we are, and where we came from. We are rank beginners in this quest, and as such we can reap the benefits of keeping an active imagination. As the Zen master Shunryu Suzuki put it, "In the beginner's mind there are many possibilities, but in the expert's there are few." To reflect on the wild diversity of life on this one planet, and not least on the rich diversity of individuals within our one species, is to consider how much we have not yet imagined, but can, perhaps, begin to learn. Part 1. Are We Alone? In the beginning. In the beginning, when all was fire, there were no stars or planets, no atoms or molecules, and no life. Eons passed and life appeared on at least one small planet orbiting an average star in a spiral galaxy called the Milky Way. On one planet, one species, endowed with the capacity to think and speak, has begun to wonder, did it happen only here? What follows is a report from a few members of that species on the search for life beyond Earth. All earthly life is kin. We're all members of the same ship's company, adrift on a planet that has nurtured life for almost 5 billion years. But while life is old, we humans are young. Since life on Earth began, the Sun and its planets have completed about a dozen orbits around the center of the Milky Way galaxy. But since humans came along, the solar system has wheeled less far than the second hand of a clock ticks off in a single second. So we're young. But we're also bright, or so we like to think. Of all the animals on Earth, we alone have the capacity to investigate how life began, to wonder where it might be headed, and to ask whether there are creatures on other planets who are asking the same kinds of questions. Our quest for life beyond Earth begins by searching the cosmos for the 3 things that terrestrial life requires: energy, water, and organic molecules, molecules that contain carbon, the basis of life. Scientists are now learning that all 3 ingredients are not unique to Earth, but are found throughout the universe. Most of the Earth's energy comes from the Sun, but the Sun is just one among a billion trillion stars. There's plenty of energy out there. Water is essential to life, as people have long appreciated. The Greek philosopher Thales portrayed water as the basis of all things. Confucius said, "The man of wisdom delights in water." Human beings are mostly water. The cells in our bodies are little bags of water and organic molecules. Astronomers have found evidence of water and organics in the solar system and beyond. Mercury, the planet closest to the Sun, has ice at its poles, as do the Moon and the planet Mars. The giant outer planets harbor organics, and many of their moons are covered in ice. Swarms of comets orbit the Sun. Each comet is an iceberg freighted with water and organics. New planets are forming in Orion and elsewhere from disks of rocks and ice surrounding newborn stars. These planets incorporate the water and organics in the clouds, while their central star bathes them in energy. The energy that sustains life can come from inside a planet as well. On geologically active planets like Earth, volcanoes pump water vapor and carbon compounds into the atmosphere, making them available to living organisms. Their veins of glowing lava are the life's blood of a thriving planet. Old volcanoes like Yellowstone, the largest volcano in the United States, are fountainheads of warmth and nourishment that link the geological activity below to the vitality of life above, on Earth and perhaps on other planets as well. From the center of the Earth to the far-flung galaxies, we find evidence that life arose from cosmic processes. The iron in our blood and the calcium in our bones were made inside stars. All the silver and gold on earth, from the vaults of Fort Knox to the wedding rings in the corner pawn shop, was forged by stars that exploded long ago, seeding with tons of diamonds and gold the interstellar clouds from which the sun and its planets later formed. Terrestrial life is embedded in a cosmic web, and it seems reasonable to speculate that life may be cosmically commonplace. Evolution. Once life arose on Earth, it evolved in unpredictable ways. Biological evolution is not a plodding climb from lower to higher forms. It's a wild, improvisational dance, as its history reveals. We marked off 5 kilometers of road to represent the history of the Earth on a scale of 1 kilometer equals 1 billion years. The Earth formed about 0.5 kilometer down the road some 4.5 billion years ago, and the earliest fossil life forms yet identified on Earth date from 3.75 billion years ago. These early studies are sufficiently sophisticated to suggest that life had already been evolving for quite a while, but they don't exactly add up to Saturday night in the big city. For a very long time, the most complex forms of life on Earth were blobs of single-celled bacteria and algae called stromatolites. They may not look like much, indeed they look a bit like rocks, but they were the stars of the show for 3 billion years of evolution. That's 3 kilometers on down the highway. It would take a while to walk. We'd better drive. Even at 100 miles an hour, it takes a full minute to traverse the long, dull time during which life on Earth took few more complex forms than bacteria, algae, and plankton. And that's been the dynamic of evolution here on Earth, not a slow progression from so-called lower to higher life forms, but long periods of relative stasis followed by sudden bursts of innovation. The most dramatic burst of biological inventiveness came just over 0.5 billion years ago, when a whole array of creatures equipped with claws and teeth and tentacles appeared in what is aptly called the Cambrian Explosion. Its cause is something of a mystery, but the forms taken on by nearly all the organisms on Earth today represent variations on the plans invented during the Cambrian. The events that loom largest from our human perspective all lie along the very last stretch of highway. Mammals appeared 200 million years ago, just 200 meters from the end of the highway. Our distant ancestors learned how to walk upright a little under 4 million years ago, and the whole human story lies in the last half meter, easily overlooked on a nearly 5-kilometer-long highway through time. All recorded history, the rise and fall of empires, every innovation from the building of the pyramids to the invention of print, took place in the last few millimeters. And as for science, well, modern science came along so recently you'd need a microscope to see it. Never before has this planet hosted a species acute enough to find its place on the highway of time, to ask how life on Earth began, and to wonder whether life also has arisen on other planets. The search for life beyond Earth is the latest chapter in humanity's long history of exploring new lands and finding new varieties of life there.